on, Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geek though.
My lord! American Marty! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny. Do not vomit me.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 130 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Monday, April 3rd. This is Aaron. This episode, we talk about eyes, Olympics, and St. Paul kids. In the studio with me, as always, Kenny.
Hey, yo, how's it going?
As well as Mr. Jive Midnight.
Hey, hey, hey.
So, how about this week?
We've had
a lot of discussion tonight about peeing in the shower.
April Fools. Oh wait, that was Saturday.
Oh yeah. That's the great thing about April Fools is like you basically can't be online for the next really 48 hours because there's residual like fake news where like
and then you get to see the Trump stuff.
Well, especially and then you're like, I don't know what's real anymore.
You know? I haven't known what's real for a while.
Yeah, I had one buddy who was like, I almost bit, where he was like talking, he had posted something about Outkast reuniting, and I was like,
really? But that's almost believable.
I know, exactly. You know?
So,
those are the best April Fool's jokes, where right. It's like, it's almost believable, right. And then it like slowly like unwinds, and it's like, yeah. Those are actually delightful to experience as an April Fool's victim.
Is that your best April Fool's that you saw? You think like most believable?
I also had a friend that posted that he had picked up a 59 Les Paul reissue or original at a garage sale for $200.
Ooh!
And then he was going to sell his guitar to Joe Bonahua. He didn't have the exact name of the guy who wanted to buy it.
Was it the same Joe that we saw on the bus? Like
Joe Bonamassa?
Bonamassa.
But he put Joe Bona, what's his name? Which I found hilarious, actually.
Jive, do you got a favorite article that you saw?
Not really, but, you know, it has me thinking that, you know, the level of April Fool's jokes, like when April Fool's falls on a weekend, has got to be probably a little bit lower. Like, yeah, you get your online stuff, but
right.
You know,
you don't have the work hijinks,
right? You're not in the you know, outer world really a lot. Maybe during the weekend, you might be out, you know, at Target or something doing
right.
some sort of silly stuff, but you know.
I was at a pinball tournament over the on April Fool's. I was sure, because there's all nerds at a pinball tournament. There was nothing. I was genuinely surprised.
It's just another day.
So disappointed.
No, like Ghostbusters machines that had like real ghosts and like a thing to pull out of the
or
machine.
Or reverse the flippers, so when you flip the right button.
Oh man,
see, that would have been genius.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
See, it's time to just become a Hallmark holiday. Start sending me April Fool's cards.
There was a couple of news items I saw that I'm going, I had to look at the date to see if it was true.
Right.
And
well, there's one local one. There's a local establishment called Dariette. It's in St. Paul. It's a drive-in, I guess you'd call it, drive-in diner.
Similar to old A&W.
Old A&W or Porky's if you're in... Depending on where
Ooh,
you were,
Porky's.
But they have a unbelievable meatball sandwich, unbelievable, and they posted that they were opening up on Sunday on April Fool's.
Oh!
But this is normally the time of the year that they open up for.
Yep.
So people are like, "Is this April Fool's? I don't even know." I really want Dariette because their malts are awesome and their meatball sandwich. Oh, you know, it's...
See, Cerdic should have did that on. On April 1st and then April 2nd.
Hey, we're open tomorrow. That's pretty great, actually.
Hey, it's Sunday. We're selling beer.
Well, they actually did.
They
a
did?
A couple of weeks before.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see if they're selling beer in June. I did see a couple. And one of them, like, I literally had to check the date, and I'm going, I still don't know if this is true or not. With Google buying out Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw another one about wireless power first being used for a Radiohead show. And I got halfway through it, and I was like, hold on, what day is it today? I was like, oh, yeah, never mind.
Wireless power could be.
Yeah, they actually went into pretty in-depth detail on the whole scientific fact of it and short-range and far-range wireless power and how it was transmitted. And they were using the short-range stuff, and it was the first tour to use completely wireless power beamed over laser waves for a rock show, for an arena show.
Hmm.
That sounds unbelievable, actually.
Yeah.
When you put, yeah, exactly.
It sounded very scientific at the beginning of it.
Okay.
That's not the kind of wireless power we have right now.
I know I said that I wanted to move on, but back in the day, I got fooled hardcore by a April Fool's joke that was in a monthly magazine. So it wasn't, when I read it, wasn't an April Fool's, so I was totally clueless.
It was like May when I got the
exactly the
April
issue. Was it Mad Magazine?
No, it was Computer Shopper, if you remember that magazine.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible that was like 12 inches
you
thick.
You would look through there because they had like all the coolest gear in there.
Right, yep. Back in the mid-90s.
Right.
And John C. Dvorak used to do a thing at the back of that where he'd do a column. His April column... I was talking about these new modems from Russia that used the Coke bottle glass as some sort of transistor. And I was like, holy cow, I'm going to get more than 28.8 from these Russian modems?
By using Coke bottles.
And right? Then they spy on you.
Right. So I got to say, heads up to, a hat tip to John C. Dvorak for that.
Yeah. That guy's probably had a few more pretty good.
Right,
pretty
Dvorak. Dvorak, if you're a tech nerd, Dvorak is like he's like classic.
Oh yeah,
he's also the same guy I think that predicted the demise of the mouse at some point. he's like a curmudgeon.
Was it
curmudgeon.
The mouse or the one button mouse that?
He's just a curmudgeon's curmudgeon, and I appreciate.
I gotta say, we have no mice in our studio right now.
No, we don't.
We don't. That's, yeah.
This is Drew, actually. So, fair enough. You win, John.
In this certain instance.
In this instance.
I still like to feel it, though. The mouse. Like, in my hand, like it works better. See? You're welcome.
All right. How about we talk hockey right now?
Hockey? What is that?
What is hockey?
We're in April, so.
All right. Here we go.
So, coming down the stretch to some of the Wild's last games of the season.
We got three left after this?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we got three
left. We had
so.
A little bit of a home stance going on. The Wild get a possible, or five out of a possible eight.
Not bad. I mean, no. I mean, people are really pessimistic, but five out of eight.
Well,
it's not playoff what you... No, at a playoff, that's even good to have a playoff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of those, as we were talking last week, should have been a team that we beat. That we did. Surprise of the week's Capitals, we took them to overtime. Actually, a very good game, very tight game.
Yeah.
Parisi took a stick to the eye in the middle
from
of the game.
Wilson. It looked mostly inadvertent.
Right. I mean, It was
scary, though. I mean,
it was.
It was like, I mean, I know people are kind of down on Parisi in a general sense.
Yeah. No, that was a pretty.
But it was scary enough because you don't want to lose a guy like Parisi at this point in the year.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, especially there was a guy back in the, I want to say it was 80s, Merzen, who I went to grade school with his nephew. Ended up getting into a fight on the ice, and I would love to try to find the YouTube video of this, but I forgot he was fighting like a major enforcer, and I don't remember the name, but a guy that, like you said the name, all of us would know. I got into a fight with him on the ice. Dude punched him. His eye literally came out of his socket.
That's pretty metal.
Was laying on the ice, and... I think it was the linesman that actually picked it up and brought it over to the bench, but
he should have left it on ice.
He detached his eye.
He actually, his eyeball came out of his eye, came off of his head.
Don't you want to leave it on ice though?
Well,
like to preserve it?
Are you going
to
actually, can they even reattach eyes?
He played some some minor league games after that, but obviously he could not play pro level because he had no sight out of
the one side. He had no depth perception.
Peripheral on one side of his head.
Right.
The fact that Parisi got away with a black eye with having to stick up that close, you know, Dr. Hook style.
It wasn't a malicious thing though. It was just what happened kind of in the
But just looking at what play. Extreme example of what could have happened, especially with the stick blade that, you know, it's not sharp like a scalpel,
and I really think that in general that the guys need to work on keeping their sticks down anyways. It's illegal to play the puck above your shoulders anyways, right?
But at the same point, you could do this. I mean, you could do and if it's with a follow through, you had no problem. So you could, you know, if a guy's there and you're just doing a soft pass, you could totally follow through,
right?
Just being a jerk.
See, what they need to do is come up with like foosball like rules. You remember your friend who used to always, like, just take the foosball thing and just, like, spin away on the guys, like, brr, brr.
That's my game, man.
That's your game. That's illegal.
No, it should be.
You should
be legal.
You can't take your hands off of the, you know, off
just
of the spinner.
Just because you can't defend that, that's not my problem.
Just because you can't defend that. That's crazy. That causes people to lose eyes.
Not in foosball.
Yeah, oh, it does. Foosballs will come flying out and hit you. You got to. I'm telling you, it could happen. It could happen to you.
So now another 80s story. My dad used to play, like, competitive foosball back in the 80s.
Dude, I got to take on your dad.
With my uncle. I actually grew up with a foosball table in my basement from where they practiced.
I got to take you on, man.
I always sucked at it.
I'm going to get a foosball table.
Again.
Oh.
Yeah, so, okay, so the crazy thing happened. We lost an OT. We got a point.
Yeah.
Which Ovechkin got his very first power play hat trick,
which is
of his career. I think it was his 19th or 17th.
And I know
hat trick,
right? And I know I think it was 18th.
I don't know. I think it was 18th.
He's in the upper teens.
17, 18, 19.
right.
Pick a number.
He was, you know, I'm pretty sure on just about every goal he was. We were talking about this earlier tonight. Was he's camped in Ovechkin's office? Gretzky had an office behind the net where he would dish pucks out and do his thing.
That's where he did his business, yeah.
Ovechkin has his office, and that's right next to the dot, or somewhere in that dot area where he just camps. And for whatever reason, defending teams, like, whoa, he's there? I mean,
what is he doing over there? I thought he was there. Oh, he was there the last time. Oh, he's there again?
You would think that.
And again?
You would think the defenders on the weak side would go, okay, we're playing the Capitals. I should turn around and see if Ovechkin's there. They don't ever.
Well,
at least with the Wild, they
watch
never
some
do.
Video footage, guys.
Wouldn't Boudreau know this? I mean, how many years did he coach Ovechkin?
Well, obviously he didn't coach Ovechkin that well, so.
Wow.
How many cups did they win with the Ovechkin? How many cups did Boudreau win?
That was zero.
Okay.
How many cups did the Capitals won?
I don't know. How many was that? Exactly. Zero.
I was going to start chirping if I didn't hear crickets.
I was looking for the loser horn, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. Okay. That works.
You know, Aaron, me and you had a. Actually, I think with the conversation we're having with the dude at Sporties today, Brandon. I think Brandon. Anyways, talking about
Jim. Sure.
The game winner. The game winner was Oshie on that game, I believe.
You're probably right. Yeah.
And I think he was talking about Oshie having a hat trick. So I think he may have reversed his
right.
two.
Yeah, because Oshie always destroys the Wild. as well. So
he's so, got it out for Minnesota.
And I know that it was pointed out that Ovechkin usually destroys Dubnyk, and he did.
Yeah. Yep. So I think Ovechkin just usually destroys the Wild in general.
Well, or the league in general.
I mean, too.
It's not like Ovechkin's like some sort of scrub where,
right?
You know,
you just hate to see how. I mean, each goal he was in, like within like a what, like a 5 foot radius of it's area.
Like it's so, like he doesn't even have to try. He's just like, no. I'm here.
And
give me the puck, and I will bury that.
And he's wide open.
Oh, so, totally.
Clear lane to the goalie to shoot. I mean.
Totally.
Hashtag Felska knows. He just looked it up. Boudreau said he watched Ovi score 250 goals from that spot. Yeah, we let it open. Like,
yeah, what? No, I mean, it's true. I mean, it is his office. I mean, that's where he scores from. No one should be surprised by it. I mean, period.
So. Going into the next game, we won handily 5-1 against Ottawa, who is actually playing pretty decent right now and trying to get their spot.
Decent game.
That was also the first game I believe this year that we saw Stalock in net.
Yes.
It would be. St. Paul boy comes home.
Yeah.
You know, wanted to give Dubnyk a rest, and I don't think that the coaching staff is very comfortable with Kemper right now.
I think there's a little bit of question.
So do we have a goalie controversy on hand here?
I don't know if you'd call it a goalie controversy, but I definitely think that Stalock has made a point for himself to possibly be that backup option for the Wild coming into the playoffs here.
Sure.
I think, you know, I mean, with this week, I mean, I know we haven't gotten to the next game yet, but he did. He went 1-1. But, I mean, even the second game, I mean, he gave up a couple goals, but he had no offensive help from the Wild in that game as the Wild were shut out.
Well, let's just combine these two real quick. They ended up losing 3-0 against the Purds, but one of the last goals in empty net.
Yeah.
And so he gave up two throughout his 58 minutes. I think
his save percentage was still .93 something or something like that. I mean, it was decent. I don't know the exact numbers, but I definitely think that he's made a case for why he should be the backup goalie as opposed to Kemper. And I think, you know, Kemper and his agent, you know, they've basically burned bridges where, you know, he doesn't want a two-way contract and this and that, you know.
If
you go look back to that stuff, I mean, Kemper, he's okay, but, I mean, he wasn't necessarily ready to be our full-time goalie.
I think a big difference, though, is that, and I think part of its perception in the league right now is, in the league, you need to have a giant goalie. A goalie that's, like, 7 feet tall.
Right.
And Stalock is not that guy. He's
only 6 feet, right?
He's a midget, basically.
Yeah.
Compared to the other goalies, yes.
You know? But he's basically viewed as a pariah in the goalie world
for being so short,
you know.
And that's fine. Okay, a big goalie takes up a little bit more of the net. But you want to know what? There was, in yesterday's game, the Wild won, so no complaints or whatever.
Sure.
But the one, it was a breakaway goal too, so I'm not going to like, blame Dubnyk on it or anything like that.
You're talking about the Duchesne one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it kind of went just under his pad, basically, I think, as he is going down. And I don't know. Something like that where you've got a big goalie. Yes, he takes up more of the goal. But, like, a smaller goalie is going to be a little bit more agile, I feel. And be able to, you know, cover those, you know, make some of those, you know, flashy plays where, you know, they get the big glove up there or something like that. Rather than just being a big brick wall in the net.
I'm going to disagree on the agile side because I think the way goalies are trained right now, I think they're looking at height as a size more so that they can be up higher when they're down lower. You know, they got more of the upper body. And they got legs that can spread farther, but I don't necessarily agree with agile because I mean I think even these taller goalies, I mean they obviously got to where they're at because they can move side to side and they have some flexibility with
them. Right, but how about when you're dropping down into the butterfly? Who have you ever heard the term, the bigger they are, the harder they fall?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but, so the bigger they are, the harder they fall, but it takes them a lot longer to fall, right?
Because
they got further to fall.
And also, if you look at, like, you know, just other sports, the bigger guys usually break down faster than smaller guy or smaller slash average, because 6 foot is average, you know, build.
Human being.
You know.
It's taller than I am. I'm
taller than all of us. I mean, let's be honest here.
I think we're all sitting underneath that 6 foot mark.
That's why I hang out with you guys, so I don't feel so small.
We all feel... We're all average.
Just keep eating Dunkin' Donuts and you'll be good, right?
Right.
Wow, I'm sorry. That was a slam. And I didn't even, I know you don't eat Dunkin' Donuts, but...
Yeah, I might. I saw one. Where did I see one the other day?
They're everywhere now.
They're popping up. Yeah. I've only seen one, though, here.
We need Krispy Kremes back.
No, they're not coming back.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I don't know. I think the bigger thing with Stalock is that, you know, I think he gets a bad rap for being a small guy.
Yeah.
But there's been plenty of goalies that are, quote-unquote, small. He's not small. He's 6 foot, you know. So yep. he's big enough.
Yeah, he doesn't fit the 6'7" mold that they're looking for.
He's not Darren Pang, you know. Right. He's not Panger, you know. So he's got at least a half foot on Panger, and you know, I don't know. I feel scouts and GMs are too quick to dismiss that. I understand though, if you're in a butterfly position, the taller you are, the longer legs you're gonna have. The more
torso.
The longer your legs are going to be, the more breath you're going to have when you're spread out in a butterfly position.
Right.
It's physics. I mean,
once you get there.
Once you get there, but, you know, you have to drop to that point.
Yes.
And you're already vulnerable at that point.
Yes.
So, I don't know. I'm not as down on Stalock as some people. At this point, I'd rather have Stalock than Kemper, because I'd rather have the smaller guy who is more agile than the bigger guy who is more rigid. You know, I mean that's where I'm going.
I agree, and I know, like, because Stalock is, and I know he's been known for it too. You know, he goes out and he might sometimes get a little bit wild going outside playing the puck.
But that's on the board. That's the Brodeur school of goalie.
Exactly,
man.
It fits right into his style. So,
and I like that. I'd actually like a goalie who's a little bit scrappy. And Kemper, I don't really feel that way. You know,
Dubnyk is definitely getting scrappy. He's gotten more scrappy since he's taken over the team.
I don't know how many penalty minutes. I think there's been some uncalled things.
Oh yeah,
but
least once a game you'll see him, you know, with a little
whack
to the back of the legs, and
you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes uncalled.
Get out of my territory.
But I like that, you know.
Yep.
So then, you know, we briefly mentioned that Stalock lost 3-0. Well, Stalock was in that one. The Wild lost 3-0.
Yeah,
he lost that one against the Perds.
He only gave up a couple of those.
He only gave up two.
Yeah.
And then yesterday we played the Avs, who are like basically bottom of the league. And had we lost that game, we would have been run out of St. Paul, or the Wild would have been run out of St. Paul, I think.
Though I gotta say though, you know, watching the Avs game yesterday, they've got some young talent coming up on the Avs there though.
They do. Well, they need to rebuild.
We thought that a couple years ago though.
With McKinnon and stuff, but McKinnon's coming around. I think that he's still.
He's maturing.
He's
still
formidable, and I don't know.
The problem is they you need a balance. You can't just have a bunch of young kids. You need some other support there.
You need some veterans,
and you've got Eric Johnson, that MFing turncoat, and that's your veteran presence. You know,
right? And well, I think he was out too.
No, he was playing.
I mean,
he was out there.
Look at what Edmonton's gone through with all their number one draft picks.
Yeah.
you know, with no leadership really to lead those guys on the ice.
Eventually, they're going to become someone's going to become a leader.
Well, that's going to be that guy.
Or you're going to get rid of Taylor Hall, and then you realize, oh wow, okay, now we're okay now.
It'll be that guy who was the first round draft pick from 4 years ago,
right?
With three other first round draft picks right. underneath him,
right?
You know, but so you know, Wild ended up winning 5-2. Hollow was back in. He had a great game.
Hollow.
White was scratched. You know,
I would post the humping Hollow gif right now.
So great.
He almost had two, and it was one of them was overturned because they thought. Well, it turned out to be a goal, but the original thought was that it hit him on the way to the goal.
Right.
And
that one went to Spurgeon, right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like, oh, yeah, that's totally going to Spurgeon. There's no way that's going to all,
right.
You know, to the point where when I was on Twitter, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to post the Hollow gif. I'm waiting to the next Hollow goal. And sure enough, there was another Hollow goal.
There was. And he had a lot of chances.
He actually had many chances.
Yes.
He was buzzing, as were Granlund and Koivu to a lesser degree. Koivu, but yeah,
Koivu hit that one that went off that rang off the pipe in the third.
I mean, that line. I mean,
wide open net. That he Pommenville'd it pretty hard.
That line was the old Koivu Zucker Granlund line.
Yeah,
with Hala replacing Zucker in that
right.
And that whole line had been so dormant for a very long time.
For a little while, they've been on a kind of dry spell.
Is it they get dormant, or do teams adapt to what they're doing?
Maybe. I mean, that's possible.
Scouting report comes out like, hey, you guys got to cover these guys like this.
Well, yeah, and exactly. I mean, and then you see one team beat the Wild, and it's a domino effect going down there. Teams see, this is how we got to, block them out or, keep them from being able to move the puck around. But I don't know. I think that, the Wild definitely had a tough stretch there where, pucks weren't bouncing their way. Maybe the season was getting a little long on them. But I've seen a few games here now, though. I haven't seen, exceptional performances in all the games this week. But I think that we've had a few good outings where we went and put a good foot forward out there and played fairly well. I mean, when you consider playing the team like the Capitals, me fat fingering my soundboard over here because I like to talk with my hands. But but
Italian?
When you're talking about a team playoff team like the Capitals, I mean, they're nobody to sneeze at. And I thought Wild played a great game there, and I mean, it went to OT. But
I think overall this last week, while the Wild haven't been, they haven't had a dominant 60 minutes.
Well,
I mean, I don't think they have.
I will say
things are turning around in a general sense.
Yeah,
things are getting better. We're seeing more distributed scoring where, we're not relying on a couple lines. Right. Everyone's scoring again.
Yeah,
I think things are coming back around.
Even Hansel,
Hansel's got a few in there this past week.
Yeah,
how many does Pommenville have over the last week? Oh wait, no, sorry.
Wrong guy to be asking.
I'm still not. I don't know. I think Pommenville has had a decent season this year, and I'm not gonna rap on him because I think that actually he has been a good producer of some chances.
I just think there's so many guys in this team that are like, for what they're being paid, are underproducing, and that goes.
That's fair. You could say his salary isn't. Well, on par with what he's producing.
Sure, any team you could say that. I understand that. You could find a couple players. But I look at like Brodin. Brodin has not been very good this year, I don't think. Coyle has not been very good.
Coyle's had his moments.
He's had his moments, but he's
well, I guess Brodine's had his moments
for the physical size that Coyle has. He's not playing like he should be playing.
No, well, we have not seen his physical play like grinding like we should be seeing.
No,
like what we'd expect out of Coyle.
We want at least a little bit of that, you know. Palmerville's just like paid a lot, so that he already gets a notch against him.
And Palmerville is, I mean, he's not your, you know, get in front of the net guy.
No.
Though, like, Kim and Parisi are probably about the same size. And
no, but he should be, because, right. You know, you want him to be like Nino. Nino has no problem getting those dirty areas.
Nino's got a little more size than Palmerville does, though.
Well, he doesn't have, he has less size than Coyle. And
true.
And Coyle's all perimeter.
Yeah.
Almost.
Coyle's, he does, you know, he doesn't have the mass, though. He's tall, but he's not, he doesn't have the mass.
I find that to be a weak excuse, though.
He just needs some weight gainer.
He needs to cultivate some mass. Like what? Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Eat
some chimichangas, you know?
I was thinking of, what was it that Cartman had on South Park? Like, weight gain 2000? Or... What was that?
Oh gosh,
this is like early South Park.
That was a long time ago. I'm sure between Tim and Derek, they'll have the answer. But
we'll wait for that season one to come out. 3, episode 5 of
I'm not the quite South that Park. Good.
Yes.
All right.
I even had the pinball machine for South Park, and I don't know that.
So. It wasn't on the pinball machine.
It wasn't. He wasn't eating cheesy poofs. I know that.
No, and no bad kitty either.
Yeah.
So that was our week. That was our 4 games. So what random crap do we have to talk about now?
Let's talk about some wild card stuff.
All right.
So the wild card topic, actually breaking news.
As of today.
As Kenny and I were... I love that's our breaking news. That is hilarious.
I need a drink.
So as we were sitting down at Sporty's having dinner, getting ready for the show, it was announced that the NHL will not be participating in the Olympics in 2018.
Well, not officially.
You can't do that!
Well, they won't be stopping the season in order to accommodate the Olympics. So
what you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
So that's Jai's opinion. So with that, thoughts on NHL players not participating in the Olympics? Jive.
Thoughts?
Since
I started.
Yes.
You can't do that, remember.
Well, they can participate. Am I correct?
No.
Not, I don't think I'm going to need
the league is not the league is not suspending
the
know,
league
season.
Is not suspending play, but are they bound by contract to stay here and not go play for the
yes.
country?
Well,
I believe that is true.
Okay. Well, you know, I don't know. I think that they're willing to, you know, expend time for their World Cups. So they can, you know, generate more revenue and this and that or whatever. But it comes time for something that's, I mean, the Olympics is something that's bigger than, I feel, anything else. I mean, it's the Olympics. It's a worldwide event. It's something that's known, throughout the world. I mean, whether it's the Winter Olympics or the Summer Olympics. And there's a select few athletes that get chosen to go to these things, and to be able to be there and to be able to represent your country, I think that's a pretty big thing, a lot bigger than any, you know, hockey league or baseball league, basketball league, whatever, shot put league, if whatever you're in. I mean, this is the Olympics. It's time to, you know, rise up and go stand for your country. You can go out and do battle, but it's not on a freaking battlefield. It's, you know, all in good sports and good sportsmanship. You can go shake the hand of your, you know, neighbor country. Yeah, we had a heck of a game out there on the ice, but you know, at the end of the day, we're all still upright. We had fun. We played. You guys won or we won, whatever. It pisses me off.
So Kenny, what are you thinking about?
Sorry, I just rambled on there, but it pisses me off.
I have a few different thoughts on this, and they are kind of almost counterproductive of each other. But one is, I have heard that Ovechkin said that he was going to go play for Russia no matter what. This was previous to this announcement. I mean, we're talking.
I'm pretty sure he said the same thing in last Olympics as well.
That he was going to go play for Russia no matter what.
Right.
So, now, is this the same as all of the movie actors and actresses saying once Trump was nominated, they were moving to Canada?
Or maybe this is I'm stealing our buddy's joke here, but maybe this is Ovechkin's one opportunity to win everything.
Yeah,
he's not going to win the cup, so at least he'll win a gold medal at some point.
Going back to our buddy and stealing his line, he'll just get beat by a bunch of gophers by the U.S.
Right.
So there is that. I do see that there are going to be certain guys that have allegiance to their countries that are going to want to go play. I would say primarily Russians I could see doing this.
I could see small countries, too.
I could see possibly Finns doing this.
I can see countries that are actually excluded from the World Cup actually
saying, hey, and you know, if they're players,
Switzerland going, hey, we got a chance now. Nino is now not playing for the Wild and right. during the middle
and
of the season.
There's nothing to say that country cannot compensate Nino.
No, yeah.
For going to go play.
Yeah.
Now, here's my other take on this. If they go and play, I don't know how the NHLPA will take this and if they're going to, A, you know, give these guys a suspension for leaving work. I mean,
the NHLPA,
that's their representative. Yeah. They're not going to.
NHL might.
Well,
the PA is going to be like defending them.
Yes.
You know?
So with the NHL, though, I mean,
that's the Teamsters of the NHL.
You and I all work for all three of us, let's say, work for a company, and we've got the opportunity from a bigger place, you know, that we're not getting paid for, but to just go and enjoy it for a while. We just skip out on work for 2 weeks to go play. What's going to happen when we get back to go do our job? We're going to be canned.
Maybe.
That sounds like the typical union argument, anti-union argument. And I'm not going to go down that path. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, obviously the NHL is not going to can these guys. They're not going to, if Ovechkin decides to go play for Russia, they're not going to say, hey, Ovechkin, you're not allowed in our league anymore because, that's just going to kill ticket sales and it's going to cause an uprising.
So if you're a city worker.
Are we really going down this path? Are we going down the union yes. argument path
if,
here?
If you're a city worker,
I think so.
You're a Teamster and you lean on a shovel. If you're a hockey player, you're an NHLPA-er
so you lean on
a stick.
So you're calling Felska a shovel leaner?
Is he a city worker? No, he's an education.
Oh, that's
union.
That's different.
That's union.
When I say city workers, I'm talking about these guys out there.
Do we want to go down this union path?
No.
Okay.
I'm trying to crack a joke.
You should back that up.
We're talking about shovel leaners and hockey stick leaners.
You can back it up like the Wild did in the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
Way to go, Jared Boy.
Hashtag Felska knows the NHLPA already issued a statement damning the NHL decision.
Well, yeah.
Damning them.
So the union is going to be behind, the Players Association right. is going to be behind right. these players. But what's going to happen? I mean, because if play continues and all of a sudden the team, all right, let's take Capitals, for instance, because you got Ovechkin, you got an all-star. It's an easy one to deal with. He goes and plays. Capitals go on a tremendous losing streak for the 2 weeks that he's gone. They lose 8 games. They drop their position.
If he has a gold medal, he doesn't give a crap about that.
He's not, but how is the team and how is the NHL going to react to that?
Well, that's...
Oh, let's suspend him.
Well, exactly.
it goes back to, is this really just a move by the NHL to make the World Cup of Hockey the de facto World Championship of Hockey.
Right.
Because it's just really a money grab, really, at their point.
Piss it, off, Bettman, is no, what I'm saying.
It's no different than baseball did with the World Baseball Classic, where, like, okay, we want to own this. We don't want, you know, this international organization who is, you know, arguably just as corrupt, you know, making that money. You
that's
know,
true.
The IOC is not some sort of like.
I know.
It's not some sort of like unblemished why, right. organization.
Why
you
can't
know?
Why can't it just be like a true gathering of nations to come together, have some fun, let's play some sports together, see who wins.
We all
got to
make it rain, though.
Right, make it rain. It's like, God.
I mean, that's really the problem. So.
I'm disappointed in the world now.
What
you said just bums me out, man.
I'm sorry. So with that, I think we ought to get on to, let's move on a little bit.
Yeah.
This is depressing as it is.
Let's move on. All right. Yeah, next thing.
I don't think we made any headway on that.
Oh, no, we hate every position. And we hate every person involved in it.
I think hopefully this bites him in his ass hard enough that he's finally kicked out.
Yeah, right. we all hate Bettman. We know that.
Hey, I said I hope.
That is a universal truth. I don't know that anyone likes Bettman, and maybe even his mother doesn't like him. So
maybe even his mother doesn't.
His mother. I should have aborted you.
Oh, man. Have you ever... Could you think about the world had Bettman been aborted?
Wow. Wow, we just got dark.
We did. All right, let's...
Now we have to move on.
We must. Yes. We must move on. So, let's get into the movements of the week. We've got Erik Sinek, who is back over to us from Sweden. He's had one goal since his return here. We've also, during this last week, as mentioned before, we brought up Alex Stalock, right, in goal. And he put out there, you know, a couple of great games, I feel. He started two. He managed to win one, and the other was a loss, but... I definitely think his performance was okay there. So, when you're looking at this stuff, with Erik Sinek coming up, coming back over, how do you feel about Erik Sinek being, you know, brought back over like that? And you know, whose spot is he taking here?
Well, you know what? I think right now Boudreaux is just trying to shake things up.
Yeah.
Obviously, bringing Ek back and pulling Stalock in, I think he's going, hey, look, guys, none of you are protected. Right. Any one of you can be replaced right now.
Yeah, and I think we even saw Schrader getting some playing time yesterday as well.
Well, even with that, I want to say that, you know, when we're talking about people who are safe on this team, Felska bring out the coat hangers. Oh, wow.
He just killed three in the box, Felska. And we're on a delay, so I'll let you figure out what message you sent that killed us.
Oh, wow. Sorry.
I got nothing.
Blame it on Felska. He derailed man.
I'm blaming it on Kenny because he's the one who started it.
Oh, I was reading it at the same time that he said that. That was flipping hilarious. But anyway, so yeah, we got Erik Sinek back up, Alex Stalock. And we did already kind of talk about a little bit about Stalock being up here. Here we are. We've got the final games of the season. They're approaching. You know, and there still seems to kind of be some question from Boudreaux, basically, you know, on what line combinations are going to be used. I think, you know, We've got the one solid line, but that's kind of been broken up with, you know, Koivu and, sure, and Zucker and Granlund there. But, you know, the other lines, you know, a lot of them have been shifted around and changed around.
Basically, top two have been
quite a
pretty
bit.
Well set. And but, well, they've been interchanged with each other. But I think you have your top six that have been pretty much settled.
Yeah.
Unless there's been an injury.
True. And maybe that's been part of the problem, too, that there's been some injuries to have to deal with. But, you know, heading into the playoffs here, do you expect that we'll continue to see, you know, the variety of line combinations that we've, you know, kind of almost come to expect here in, during the regular season?
Well, I think a big thing is that Boudreaux doesn't really care about what is the line.
Yep.
The philosophical tenet of what is a line doesn't really matter to him. It's fluid, and I respect that. You know, it's like, okay, you guys aren't working together. Well, we'll move you around. Unlike, you know, Yo back in the day, where he'd run the same guys together night after night after night.
Never willing to change.
Never willing to change. And then when he did change, you're like, what the hell is he doing? Now he's changing. This is the change he's making.
Yeah.
Boudreaux has never said, you know, this is my top line.
Yeah.
He's like, what is the top line?
He's never said what are lines
no.
in general.
He won't even tell you who the starting goaltender is, you know. He's from that era where he's like, no, who our starting goaltender is, you'll find out when he starts, you know.
When we go out and play.
Right.
Okay. All right, then. Coming up this week, we've got the Hurricanes, the Avalanche, and the Coyotes. So the final three games of the season here.
Is that really the final? Are we down to three games?
Yep.
We are down to three games.
Wow.
So the final three games of the season, they're all against teams that, you know, aren't making a postseason appearance.
Right.
I think maybe the Hurricanes might have some sort of chance if somebody loses every game and they win every game or something like that, but pretty much they're not going to be showing up for the playoffs. So, you know, we've got those three games. Tuesday is going to be the final home game for the Wild. And then the final game of the season is in Arizona there. So what do you guys kind of predict for the end of the season here? We've got three games against non-playoff teams. You know, how do you guys feel that the Wild will fare here coming into the end of the season?
I could see some call-ups just to see how some players do, potentially. Maybe some more Stalock, maybe some more Eriksson Ek.
But that's not call-ups. Those guys.
I mean, they've been up, but
they're already with the team.
Just to kind of see how they're going to play. But I'm really hoping, you know. Obviously, I think he wants to try to keep his star players not being hurt. I think Koivu was pretty good about protecting himself, but obviously, even Parisi, who's been injury filled throughout the season.
So how are they going to finish the season though? Here, are they going to win? Are they going to lose?
I think they're going to win out. I could
you
maybe
think they're going to win out.
I see three wins with maybe one.
Oh yeah,
loss.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go three. Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to go three wins.
All right, okay. I'm going to go 2-1. I mean, I think it's a safe bet. Avalanche are a shell of a team at this point.
They are,
and I think between the Coyotes and the Hurricanes, they're going to flip the coin. They're going to win one of those, lose one of those. And this is especially given that the Wild should be resting their starters.
Resting some players coming into the playoffs.
Exactly.
And because there's very little they have to lose at this point.
They don't need to play Suter 30 minutes.
No.
In all three of these competitions.
But Suter's not going to be sitting, so you're going to have to... You know,
we could play him 20 minutes. I mean,
you know, you could, but you're going to be.
I believe in yesterday's game, Suter only played 22 minutes.
But you're probably going to be playing Prosser. You're going to be playing, well, I think Schrader's playing well, so
maybe.
That's a bit bad analogy, but, you know.
Oh, I mean, yeah, Schrader's game has been pretty good. And speaking of resting people, is, you know, so Zucker, they say he's out with a lower body injury. But, you know, is that really a lower body injury, or is he just getting some rest, or...
I think that's a good thing for little him. Minor his hands soreness. Might actually be caught up to his feet at that point.
Well, at this point, you know, you want him to be rested anyway. So,
yes, you do.
Because especially the lower body with him, if he doesn't have a lower body, he doesn't right. have anything.
That's his legs. That's his speed, right?
Yeah, without legs, he's got nothing. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Are we on the Twitter talk here now?
Well, yeah, let's answer some viewers, people's questions.
All right.
Here comes.
Is that our new intro?
Yep.
Why not? Okay. Is that really our new intro?
That's really our new intro. Here, you want me to do it again?
Yeah. Here comes.
There you go. Twitter talk. First question from Derek Felska at Crease and Assist. Iowa Wild and Minnesota Wild. Okay, I thought this was the last week question.
Oh, sorry.
So I'm actually gonna.
I blame Kenny.
I'm stupid. I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
Almost, except for two of those.
So I'm gonna let. Is it two of those or?
How far back are you going?
There, Aaron.
He's going back to last year, I think.
Nope, try that one.
Okay. I will let you cycle. I'll let you start, actually.
Okay.
Because you're first.
I am.
Yeah.
So from SJ Secor, Tim Nadel, or he was asking Tim Nadel, will the Minnesota Wild be a wild card spot by the next Three in the Box podcast? Oh, crap. We got to work on our filters. So anyways, no. I'm going to say no. I'm just going to say no. Will the Wild be in a wild card spot? No.
Well, it's pretty obviously no, so
yep.
I think we can move
and
on.
And by the next one, I think still no.
I think we're still safe.
I think we're safe at this point now, yeah.
I don't think we'll even be a third place. I think we're pretty solid. I think it's going to take a major collapse for us to not make home advantage for at least the first round.
Agreed.
Home advantage,
man.
I know.
Yeah.
That's a weird thought.
It is.
It really
is. I'm all right with that.
Next question from Minnesotan 12. What do you think about changing players' positions in the middle of their careers? For example, switching Dumba from defenseman to wing.
I've got a great example for this. Look what happened with Burns during the Lemaire era. He went up to wing. He really did not do too well as wing. Do very well as a wing.
All right.
And going back to D, he succeeded. He's a very offensive defenseman. John Scott.
But he played forward in San Jose as well, though.
Briefly.
Yeah.
Before he got moved back to a defenseman. I think he just plays better blue line.
Or maybe he just defies a label like that.
That's true.
I mean, that's a pretty. It's a traditional label, so
it is the wing, the defenseman, the center. You know, you look into like hockey or not hockey. You look into like golf these days, you know, and people swing their driver, people swing their irons, but they've also got these things called the hybrid club. You know,
are you talking about those weird clubs where like the weird putters where like. It's up to
their
chest. And like,
no.
Cheater clubs.
A hybrid club is kind of in between one of your woods that you would drive with, and one of your irons that you might shoot out of the rough with, or something like
Wait,
that.
Is this three in the box or three in the hole?
Three in the hole, and you're hurting. All right. But anyways, so if you're looking at that, you know, I mean, like with golf, you know, they're using this hybrid club. Why do you necessarily have to be a driver? Why do you necessarily have to be an iron? You can be somewhere in between, and, you know,
but kind if I want to be a putter.
Well, then that's a little bit different, though.
Is that like a drummer?
That's on a different end of the spectrum, yes, which is probably why you're bringing it up.
I'm stupid, I'm Canadian, and I love cigarettes.
But anyways, so yeah. So I think, you know, keeping Dumba probably at a defensive position, you know, just like similarly to how you were talking, Kenny, you know, with Burns, how eventually he was moved back to the defensive position. But yes, he's still a great offensive threat. But, you know, as long as, you know, you keep him back home towards that defensive side,
sure,
I think that they're more valuable on that side of the spectrum. I don't think Dumba and Burns are the same players, but I definitely don't think that moving Dumba to like a forward position.
I see a lot of maybe it's just me, but I do see a lot of Burns in Dumba and what he's trying to accomplish. What I don't see from Dumba is the big hits that Burns would always have.
And Dumba doesn't have the size that Burns has.
Or the beard.
He's, you know, Dumba, I think, has tried, but just doesn't quite grow down there for him, I don't know.
I kind of wish that Burns and Dumba would have played together, because I think Burns could have instilled a little bit different philosophy into Dumba and guided him a different way to potentially make him more like a Burns-esque style player.
Yeah.
Just a thought. Random thought.
I think Dumba keeping his own style, though, was good. I mean, I think that Dumba is a great player, and he just and a great offensive defenseman. And I think he just needs to learn a little bit more of his place, and, you know, when to pinch and when to, you know, kind of hold back and draw back. Because I know there's been some times when he's given up the little, you know, breakaways and things like that. But hey, you know.
Jive.
Yeah, next question. Comes in from Crease and Assist. Three in the box. What children's board game are the wild during the last 10 games of the season?
I got the best answer for this.
And would you want to play it, though?
It's going to be Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders.
Well, that's just like obvious.
Yeah.
Candyland? And they kept getting the cards to go back. I mean,
what other children's games are there?
Sorry.
Okay.
Don't you remember Sorry? Like,
yeah, I remember Sorry.
Where the guys come up there, boom, and
Connect Four.
No.
Connect Four is a chance,
but it's also a kids game, yeah, kind of.
What about
Super Mario Bros.?
Was it Break the Ice or...
where you had to put the...
We got that one.
Hungry, Hungry Hippo?
No, they're not playing like a Hungry Hippo right now.
No.
That's the one where you're trying to get all the marbles from the middle, right?
Yeah. They're the one kid that cannot
is? And this isn't really a kid's game, but it's just a game. It's Jenga. Waiting for that last piece
Jenga
to be pulled out and ruin our season.
And then everything falls down.
But
see?
Good analogy there.
You know what Jenga they're like, though? Do you remember the Legion in that place in Wisconsin when we go camping? Like the big 2x4 Jengas? Because they got a lot more riding on the line, and they're going to fall that much harder.
So how about Mastermind? Do you guys remember Mastermind? So the way that
I love Mastermind.
Yeah, the way that the Wild have to always like switch their lines around and stuff, you know, it's kind of like Mastermind.
Is it red, blue, white,
right,
and black,
yeah,
or yellow?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
I love that game, actually.
Yes. Good game.
It's a nerd game.
Next question from Crease and Assist. If you had to choose between dressing Ryan White or Jordan Schrader, who do you feel fits the style of play best?
Shredder.
I do like Shredder, whatever you want to call him. But,
Wolverine, I'm sorry. Right.
But, and he does. He has great.
Is that like that? That's better than your Chewbacca. I just saw something about a Chewbacca competition I was going to send you the link for. Like, Aaron's got to do it just to see how miserably. You sound like a dying Wookiee.
And the only thing I wish that though is that that wasn't my option, was between Schrader and White. I actually really like the game that White brings. He brings a little bit of the physicalness to the table, and I really think that this team needs some of that there. If anything, push that Hansel guy back. My opinion. Right. Sorry.
Aaron?
I don't know. All I know is that...
Well, I was going to see what the next question was.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Next question from fucking Felska.
See, we're going back to golf.
I know. It was LPGA had a fan email their organization of an error at an event, changing the results. Should NHL fans be able to do... Well,
move down.
Okay. Do that, or is that going to way too far in trying to get the correct call and taking the chaotic element out of sports? Well,
no, I don't think they should move.
Honestly, I want robot refs personally.
Robot refs.
I want that in all sports. You know, if technology can solve the problem of idiot humans, why not do that? I mean, if technology can do it, fail-proof, why not do that? That goes from...
That goes from
goal scored...
There goes my reffing career. God damn it.
That goes from goal scored to foul balls to ins-outs in tennis to touchdowns in football. I mean, all of them. I mean, technologically, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to do that. And I don't see... Why not? You know.
Okay. I don't know. I can't find an argument for that. Why no technology?
I would be different. I'm going to go complete opposite on that. I'm going to go, we've got human refs in there. They make human mistakes. And I actually disagree with some of the replays going on in the NHL right now. I would rather just...
Like there's too many replays.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think there's too many offsides replays. Those ones, I think, I know that the last couple of years, me and Kenny were like, oh man, they totally missed that one. And I would say 9 times out of 10, we're totally wrong.
Yeah.
In real time, we see it and we think they're totally offsides.
Yeah.
And we're wrong. And so I'm really confident with the linesman. I'm unbelievably confident.
Look at the game we were at this year against Chicago, where we literally sat in our seats for 15 minutes.
Right.
Waiting on a call.
Right.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's unbelievably ridiculous.
No,
And that happens in all sports, too. I mean, it totally is like a total breakaway from the game. And, you know, while they sit and try to figure this out, I mean, football, baseball.
I think it's ruined football,
I think the only sport that doesn't have it yet is basketball.
I think they're getting to it.
For what?
I don't know. Did he reach up too high? Was the ball on a downward curve for goaltending? I don't know.
Right.
But
instant replay in golf. Why not, huh?
How can you?
Oh, how big was that divot? I think that's an illegal divot.
How can you have an instant replay in golf is my thought. I mean, like, what could possibly get screwed up in golf?
Well, you might see an illegal move by the caddy where the caddy is, you know.
He kicks the ball foot to the right?
No, I think they made some rules, though, now that, like, the caddy can't do this or something. I don't know.
Oh, my God. But, all right. Yeah. This has gotten way too far.
Get me into my cart and let me go shoot some golf.
All right.
All right.
Are we done?
Yeah, let's get out of here. We've spent too much time on these people.
Jive, can you cue up the gunshot for me, please?
The gunshot?
Thank you.
That one. We're putting a bullet in it, I guess.
Yeah, like a horse.
Way to go, Jared boy.
So there you have it. Twitter talk, I guess. Kenny.
That bottle sums it up. That's where you can find me.
All right, Jai, where can people find you and what you're up to? As for myself,
And don't forget to follow us.
Don't forget to follow us at.
Yeah. Wow. Am I standing up straight? Wow. Am I live here? Holy crap.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
I just did one of those, didn't
oh,
I?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
That was live, too, wasn't it?
Was it? I don't know. So that's scary.
Did you guys catch that?
No, no. Not at all.
Okay.
All we heard is... All we heard was grapefruit.
Okay. I need to stop laughing is what I need to do.
Okay. So with that, thanks everyone for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox. If you got questions for us, send us those tweets, hashtag 3ITB, and we'll probably read them on the air. You can listen to our podcast on the website, 3inthebox.com. Google Play. What's the other one?
Pocket Cast is what I use.
iTunes.
iTunes.
That Apple thing.
Yeah, that Apple thing.
Yeah, I think
that's a grapefruit.
That's the grapefruit. I think that's it for this episode.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. Oh,